the street namings for Rose and Bridget have both been denied. The reason is because in the bios that were created closely by the family, the people who oversee the renaming didn't feel that there was enough there that had done in the community specifically. And they denied it on that basis. So all I'll say is we will reapply again. We will keep trying to push to have it done. And it doesn't mean that will solve the problem. I think the other thing we have to look at here is they were both the district managers and they were also both chairs at one time. I don't know where you draw the line on what they did beyond the job, what was exceptional. That's not for me to decide for someone else to do it. And I think that's what has been a little complicated. So we will keep trying and see what happens. Go ahead.
But Rose was worked very hard with the district planning board.
Right. Okay.
So that's community work. Before she was.
I'd like to make a little mention. What happened was the bio was very vague when it discussed specifically Elmhurst Hospital. Because what happened was, the way the bio was written, it said that Rose Rothschild played a very pivotal role in the reconstruction of Elmhurst Hospital as well as Queen Central. And that was it. In addition to, you know, the school district, I believe that was also in the bio. However, because of those two items that were vaguely discussed, said, we don't know enough about what exactly she did for the hospital. And now, keep in mind that I did make the phone call to see necessary. I did call Elmhurst Hospital. And I did call Queen Center Mall. We got a very similar, if not exact, response for Richard as well. They knew what he did for Queen Center Mall, because Queen Center Mall did give him a plaque sometime a couple of years back. The Queen Center Mall gave me a substantial amount of data. That was fine. But we don't have enough as to what exactly Rose did for Elmhurst Hospital, and we don't have enough of what Richard did for Arthur Ashe Stadium, which was Richard's, that's what he discussed today. So it's not completely off the table. I'd like to maybe open this up. Maybe sometime in the near future, around this same time next year, there will be time for the applications to come through again. And if any board members have any specific events or any specific data that we have that we can put as part of this their bios, we'd like to do that and resubmit it sometime next year. Maybe Sebastian, you can discuss a little bit bigger on this, how to go about it. One of them was through Jalissa Valera as well, and the other one was the council member Danny Drum's office. So as soon as I get all that info, I'll have you there, so then we'll get reply.
We got the
and the mall happily helped me with that. The mall gave me everything they had as far as what they did for the Queen Center Mall. But Richard, in other words, they both had the Queen Center Mall in common.
No, Richard for the Queen Center Mall and Rose for the district.
Well, remember, the bios were written by the family members, and both families felt that they were both pivotal in both of those areas.
But there was a specific, I'm sorry.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I do have some news relevant.
Okay, so let's step forward, yes.
Sure. So I got news very recently that it looks like Richard Italiano's co-naming might go through. So we were pushing for that. The indication I got that it wasn't going to go through, and we sort of left it that the information wasn't there, even without that information there.
Okay.
They might be allowing it to go through, and I want to confirm that, and I'll let the community board know as soon as possible.
Okay. So since we don't have confirmation as to what's happening with Rose Rothschild, this thing still stands. Now, I know she worked very closely with Darius and Sally, who was no longer with the hospital, but first chance to get to him, kind of get in contact with him, I'll do that, and maybe he can give us a little bit more to what exactly, what specific information.
Council's committee that actually does the renaming.
Even though the street is built,
even though DOT goes through this parks committee, I think so.
on the city media here.
We will have to work on that. The other thing is regarding the USDA and Flushing Meadows Columbus Park extension. They sent me a letter and they informed me and many other people that the 0.68 acres that they wanted, they're going to give the city of New York back 1.5 acres. So in fact, the issue of them getting more land is no longer there. In fact, they're going to have less overall than they currently have. So, that's where that stands right now. And the whole issue behind the parkland thing is really gone. There is no argument anymore. They're going to have less land than what they currently have.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, because there was a 1.5 acres that I guess they feel that they could do without. So they said, okay, we want this 0.68, you can have the 1.5. Very easily done. It could have been done from the beginning of this whole issue. I don't know why it wasn't. Go ahead.
I just have a question, though. I mean,
sure.
Wouldn't it still be an issue depending on what part they want and what part they
want? No, it's all Flushing Meadows Park, remember that? We can't say, like this piece, not that piece, over here, over there. It's all Flushing Meadows Park.
No, I understand, but if they want parts of the park, I'm just asking. If they want parts of the park, for example, that are used for other things in the community.
They're not. That part of the park is a roadway that they want, the 0.68 acres. So the 1.5 can be no more or no less than that. So that issue's gone. So more than likely this thing is going to be approved, as I said before. Moving on.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Well, just ask a question. Let me know
if
we don't have time to discuss it. But is it true that there's a stadium now that's really going to be built in the park? I mean, I'm hearing.
No.
I'm talking about soccer stadium.
Soccer stadium. There'll be a public hearing for that probably coming up soon.
So it's not. It hasn't been approved?
Well, it has not been approved officially yet. I mean, you have to remember the dynamics here of that situation, which is almost like this one, is that you have council people who could vote on this who will not be able to be re-elected again because they're term limited.
Oh, cool.
So they can vote on it on their way out and make the buy. And that is a problem with term limits. Because you just don't know when things are going to come up, and then there's no way to say, well, you know, I won't vote you back in again. You can't vote me back in, but I can vote. So it is possible that some people are going to vote a certain way based on their situations. I mean, the other thing is that unlike the USDA situation, the soccer stadium is probably going to get a lot of people coming out and supporting it. No matter how much of the parkland it takes up. So all those people who were hollering about this 0.68 acres now are going to have to make another choice here. And it's going to be very interesting to see where they decide to draw the line.
But part of the formal process is them coming into CD4.
Oh, all the boards that touch the park again. It's going to go through the whole thing all over again. Yes. The whole Euro process. No, they haven't told us it's not on the calendar yet.
Will we be meeting in the summer?
If it came up in the summer, we would have to meet in the summer, yes. But I doubt that that's going to occur. It probably will be next fall.
So then when the local papers are saying there's already a soccer stadium in motion, that's inaccurate.
Well, it's totally inaccurate. They could be talking about behind closed doors that people are saying there's clearly who are going to be able to vote on it, and that's what they are referring to. But you have to see what they are talking about specifically.
Thank you.
There is one other thing I want to discuss briefly. Robert Rothschild is on the executive board as an at-large director. By the bylaw rules, we are supposed to tonight select a nominating committee to select a replacement. Because we do not have a quorum, we cannot do that. It will be held over till the June meeting. But the problem with the June meeting, the committee will be selected, and then we usually don't meet in July and August. Now it sounds like he'll be replaced in September.
I guess we'll stay with him.
That's it.
Good evening.
What's that?
I already congratulated you to let me do it yet again to the Pritchards. I'm going to let everybody know that as you read in the letter, the Elmhurst Community Garden is officially up and running. I have seen it myself. Very, 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 very good. I also want to support that. I've actually been there every single Saturday since the garden's been up, and they are in, I want to say, dire need, but there is always work to be done, and there's always help needed. So if anybody would like to take a trip down there, it's on the corner of Neyland Street and Manila Street. So if anybody would like to be a part of it, you know, visit it, whatever it may be, I'm sure Jennifer will give you a way to contact you. You can contact us at the office directly, and we'll make it so you can have it.
One item regarding, maybe somewhat of a heated subject,
Willis Point. Now, the Willis Point issue that came up very recently, as far as the whole redevelopment over there, is in fact in CB7. The application for the voting on Willis Point is due at the end of May, and so we won't have time to vote. However, because it is in CB7's district, we don't necessarily have the power to be a part of the voting process, from what I understand. We, of course, have a say in it, and Fort Creek tried to get on board. I believe they may be on the verge of getting on board as well. However, the timing didn't work out properly so that we were able to actually invite them over and sit through it, because, again, our next board meeting is in June, so we won't have time to actually. So what we can do as a backup, CB3, May 21st at 6 p.m., at the Langston Hughes Library, we'll be having Willis Point, the developers, visit the Langston Hughes Library. Again, 6 p.m. on May 21st, 100-01 Northern Boulevard, at which point full presentation will be brought up. Later on the 23rd, CB3 will be holding a public hearing. So if any members of CB4 were to testify as members of the public, that would be the time to do it, because the application will be run a week after. And CB3's public hearing will be on the 23rd of May, and that's at Elm Corps, located at 107-20 Northern Boulevard. Again, that's at Elm Corps on May 23rd, 6 p.m., 107-20 Northern Boulevard. Now, the last thing I want to bring up, just this morning I had a meeting with the New York Hospital of Queens. They're trying to find out what it is the community needs most, and they passed out these very basic surveys. It's only five points that we have to bring up and circle what we believe we need in order of priority from 1 to 5. I'll pass them out to you right now. Fill it out as best you can. It's simple. It's just 5 points, circle one number, and get it back to me over here, and we'll mail it as a home to them instead of you having to go through trouble to mail it out to the end of the phone. And the last thing I want to also bring up, Street Activity Permit Office. This is a recurring event that's been coming to us for the last couple of years. Just 11 years? 3rd year now. The Elmhurst Hospital Green Market. They're coming back to our neighborhood starting June 4th, and they're going all the way through Thanksgiving, November 26th. And so tonight, before we meet, we have to get up. So, Elmhurst Green Market possibility June through November, and this is taking place on 41st Avenue between 80th Street and 81st Street, and this is from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday. We're good to go.
By the way, I want to keep in mind, everyone here, that there are 49 now members on this board. 49. The fact that we do not even have half is a problem. And then the people who are on the board, who were reappointed to the board, and some of them haven't been here for a long time now.
What about the bylaws? Yeah, not enforcing the bylaws. I mean, was it
you mean? He can't enforce the bylaws. Borough Hall has to enforce the bylaws. They appoint people. I don't appoint anybody.
Are we agreeing on the changes in this law? Is it 2 minutes?
Just remember, there's going to be a change at Borough Hall too this November, and the new person will be there officially until January of 2014. By the way, I want to welcome the new board members and welcome back.
Some other place that America is our home. We have a dream. and we should never neglect or deny these young kids, a lot of them who had, didn't have a choice. You know, they didn't come here on their own. You know, they didn't cross the border on their own. Can't blame them for their parents' mistakes. These are kids that are getting really good grades in school. You know, when I drop my niece off at her daycare and she's holding hands with another child, they go in, they don't know the difference. Kids that walk into school together hand in hand their whole entire career have no idea whether or not this person is here legally or not, or documented. They just know that this is their friend, and these are the kids they go to school with. We should not be denying them an opportunity to compete. We're not taking away any money from U.S. citizens who are applying for TAP. We're not doing that at all. It's an entitlement program that the state funds. We allocated $25 million for it so that we can expand that with the Fiscal Policy Institute study that we saw, that how much it would cost to have these kids compete. Now, they have to have a certain GPA. They have to be on a pathway to citizenship. They have to have a certain income, just like everyone else who's applying for TAP. We made it extremely fair. It's not giving anyone special treatment. It's just opening up the ability for them to apply to get some assistance for to pay for their college tuition. So these are some of the things that we've been working on in the legislature, which I think are really critical for us to move forward. Minimum wage was a big deal as well. We passed that in the assembly. You know, we're winding down. We got five more weeks left before we close this legislative session. We still have to do a lot more, but I think that we've been doing the best that we can, and we have great partnership here with the local elected officials as well, which I think that's always what makes us stronger as a community. It makes us be more aware of what's happening, which leads me to my beautiful flyer. I'm having a town hall meeting actually right here on Thursday. We have several different agencies coming in. We encourage you all to come. Tell your friends, your neighbors. This is an opportunity for us to have these discussions where it could be an issue of a pothole, or it can be a sanitation issue. It can be anything along those lines. If you have the time, we encourage you to come. The ability for you to talk one-on-one with the heads of the agencies that are in charge of keeping our communities safe, keeping our communities clean, but also to see that there is that, you know, wonderful connection with the community and all of the agencies that are working here, because they need to hear from you. They hear from us a lot, but it's great when the community is involved in this and they can hear it for themselves as well. We have State Liquor Authority, which is coming, so, you know, Lucy, we know that's an important one for you. And I think that if we can do that and get everybody together, it'll be a great event. But I wanted to take this opportunity also to congratulate Chris on the great work that he's been doing here. I know his father's back there. You know, you should be very proud of your son. He's doing great work, you know. And with that, I wanted to say thank you again for always having me here. Oh, I cannot forget. Is it Jennifer?
Yeah.
Jennifer, thank you for inviting me to the garden. I know we missed each other, but it was a wonderful event. If anyone had the opportunity, if didn't have the opportunity to go that day, you should try to pass by. It is a beautiful garden. The work that was done with the neighborhood and the kids should be a model for what we should be doing everywhere in this area. My hat's off to you for that wonderful work that you did. Thank you very much, everyone. If you have questions, I'm here. I'm running for my next event. Thank you. And if you need more flyers, they're in the back.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Emily from Senator Jose Barras's office. First and foremost, I just want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. I know it's Tuesday, but every day should be Mother's Day, and I kind of just be here. So happy Mother's Day. I'm just going to mention a community event that we're working on. But before I do so, I just want to kind of close the loop. Last month I mentioned that we were having a job fair. And we did have a job fair. It went very well this Saturday. We had around 400 attendees, and about 35 of those attendees left the job fair with at least a follow-up interview or some kind of job offer, which was really great for us to extract that information and kind of give ourselves a number of how many people are leaving our job fairs with, how effective it actually is. So that's one of the things that happened this Saturday, and we were really proud about that. What's to come? So right now, our office is working with Queensborough President Helen Marshall, Assemblyman Jeff Aubrey, Councilwoman Jalissa Pereira to host Family Day, Corona East Elmhurst Family Day, and that's going to be Saturday, June 1st. In the 99th Street, 25th Avenue, East Elmhurst, by PS 127. So if anyone's interested in going, please come out. It's going to be a fun-filled day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
What day is it?
Saturday, June 1st. And if anybody has any questions for me, I'll be right back.
Thank you. Okay.
Legislation. Also thank Senator Peralta for supporting that as well. We've been doing a lot, whatever we can do as a city council, to support not only the DREAM Act, which is sort of common sense, but as comprehensive immigration reform as well, which is also an issue in Washington. And we've been definitely pushing for that. So in fact, this community board, definitely. So we've been doing a lot of work around that. Legislatively, using the Golden Pulpit as the city council member to do that. I wanted to bring up the street co-naming issue as well. So, like I said, things are a little, we were told we could do it, and then we couldn't do it, and now we're getting an indication that we can do the street co-naming for Richard Italiano. I want to confirm that, and I'll be in contact with Christian and the community board members about that. So, like I said, we've been pushing for that, and it looks like the Parks Committee might be okay with that. So it seems that we're going to have a new policy moving forward. I'm formulating that now, so hopefully we can get a better handle about what exactly they need when you submit a co-naming. I'll keep you updated once they release their policy, probably sometime later this year. We have co-names that did go through, and we're preparing. So in the next few months, watch out for that. For co-names for Stephen Tremboli. We're going to probably have a little ceremony for that, as well as Guillermo Vasquez, and LGBT and HIV AIDS activists. In addition to that, we have a community event coming up. Rock Church, which is at Hoffman Drive and Queens Boulevard, is going to have a spring community fair that we're going to be tabling at. So we're going to have basically our constituent services people there. If you have any issues, definitely go to that. If you know anyone who might be helped by our office, there's going to be a lot of other organizations tabling at that, so I encourage you to go. It's a great event, lots of information, fun for the family as well. So I encourage you to go after that. It's going to be Saturday, May 18th, from 10, I believe, in the morning until 3 p.m. in the afternoon at the Rock Church. 11 to 3. Right? All right, great. And then finally, we have an internship program this summer. We have been bringing in a lot of young people into our office, and if you know anybody who might be interested in a summer internship in our office, definitely have them contact me or somebody at our office. We've been very successful in the past, and we can accommodate, we're flexible. We're especially looking for people who can help with our Spanish-speaking constituents or Chinese-speaking constituents. Anyone else who can, is willing to help out, definitely direct those young people towards us for our internship program this summer. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. If you want this, I can talk.
Bruce Lyre from council member. Kara Kozlowicz's office. I guess we're in the home stretch. Our district will not be serving Community Board 4 after this year because of redistricting. And I assume Karen, who's running for re-election, will still be around. That doesn't mean that you can't reach out to her office, 544-8800. Once you've been part of her district, you're always part of her district. Long time public servant.
When will that come into effect?
In November election.
Yeah, I think that's when the switch takes place. If you win in November, you don't take office, I think. January, so Helen Marshall will be in through the end of the year, as well as all of the elected officials who are in office. Last month, we, for those of you who were not at the 110th Precinct Community Council meeting, it was very well attended. Our district manager was the guest speaker and gave a wonderful presentation for those of you who were not here. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other legislators?
Hi, everybody. I guess I'll stay here also. Colin Cafaldi from Congresswoman Grace Lane's office. And I just want to say how much I enjoy coming to this community board. It's great to see such a diverse group of people working together. So it's really a pleasure to be here. I left some flyers on the table regarding the services available from the Congresswoman's office. Contact information is on the back. The easiest way to contact us is either by phone or go to the website meng.house.gov, and you can send an email through the website. Congresswoman Meng has also been very active on a number of areas, some of which I think were brought up tonight that should be mentioned. I don't know if you've seen the news, but she's been very vocal about immigration reform, how important that is right now on the national agenda. And also, student loans. Student loans are set to double in insurance rates. It's going to go from 3% to 6.7% very soon. And we're trying to put an end to that increase because it's so important to working class and middle class people.
You mean interest rates? Or send their kids. You say insurance rates? Or
The interest rate. So we're trying to keep college affordable. And Veterans Affairs. Veterans claims are way backlog, so I'm trying to straighten that out also. Also at meng.house.gov, you can sign up for newsletters. That's where you keep abreast of what's going on from your congresswoman. Okay, so
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
I want to start off by thanking the community board for helping us spread the word on our sanitation town hall that took place on May 8th. It was a big success. I would like to also, you will be hearing later on tonight from Seth Taylor, the 82nd Street Bridge, and you have some information on some of the proposals that have already taken place. Councilmember wanted me to express that she is in full support of all the proposals that are to be done by the 82nd Street Bay expansion that you will be hearing on later on tonight. In your desks, I believe you all have just a photo release of some of the, a taste of some of the improvements to come as a result of the expansion. In the pipeline at the moment, there are a couple of things in the pipeline at the moment. It's your specific dates. We're still working on those out. And just a friendly reminder of the services we offer at our office. We offer members of the board or anybody that may require them. We offer immigration services in our office twice a week, Mondays and Mondays and Thursdays. And also, we will start having HRA screenings at our office every third Thursday of the month from 9:30 to 3 p.m. For any of those who may require it. I would like to open up for any questions.
Any questions? No?
We are lacking in eviction prevention services in Queens. You know, we have Catholic charities with an office in Jamaica, another office in Arizona Boulevard. And we would like to, but not if I have that eviction. We would like to, but very limited. And we would like to, and then we have to look at a Catholic.
guy on the street, and then you have the homeless program, Stand Back, and the district program that they are doing. We would like a congresswoman to explore the possibility of helping the expand the rich information services in this area. Okay. Because the amount of calls that I get of people who say that are in house support and they don't have the money to pay their they're getting evicted. The rent is really is escalating because of the economy, especially they lose their jobs and they can't have their own things they have undocumented, their children, they don't have children in this country. And what shelter can they go? When they are homeless, they don't sleep in the streets. Where can they go? So that is the difficult situation. We would like the Congress, the councilman, to please address this issue, help us to expand that program, the eviction prevention in this area.
And I have many of those cases, and there are a number of agencies available. And I will get back to you with some information because I believe now. I just got the most recent list of all the council applications, and I think we did have funding for some agencies that requested that you do offer the eviction prevention service. I don't have the names off the top of my head, but like I said, I just got the file on my desk, last week I was on vacation, so I got back to it this week. So I don't have the information offhand, but I will be in contact with you just to see the ones that I've been going. That have been used to start funding, and the ones that we will be trying to look out for going forward.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, everybody.
Public safety.
All right. We met May 7th, Tuesday. I'm just going to state a few of the businesses back down because they didn't have all their paperwork, so they're being resubmitted. So let me just tell you who they are first. The new applicant number one is Nora Cafe Dinner Corp. The renewal number 5, El Cochito. And the reconsideration one, which is number 1 and number 2. Number 1 being La Marina Restaurant and Horatio Casano, which is number 2. They're going to come back at another time. We only had one denial, and it caused a lot of discussion. This is the location I can personally talk about. I pass it during the day, I pass it at night. It's called La Sabora Latino, which is the new applicant number 2. Why it's down as a new applicant is because they're using a back entrance, 4015 Warren Street, which goes to the basement of their establishment. So they're actually trying to expand. But they're putting it down as an actual new restaurant. This location has a history of assaults, little fights, late in the morning. They have a different crowd that comes during the day, which is predominantly families, but late in the evening, and that's why you hear complaints about nightclubs and everything, is they bring in a different element of people that are heavy drinkers. I have witnessed them when they kick them out. I've witnessed them when they fight amongst themselves. We have a huge police report on them. Now, they came to us in December saying they're going to change their image. And they asked for time to prove it. We gave it to them. So what happens? They went back to their old way. We had 2 major assaults in February, another 2 major assaults in March. And they also hired people that were not licensed. So it was a 3-2 vote, and we voted no. So unfortunately, we do not have a quorum tonight. And I would have liked to have had your feelings on this, but it looks like we're going to have to repeat this again next month or what?
No, we will approve it as a committee report.
Okay, I would like...
We just can't vote it officially on the floor because we don't have it.
Okay, so I'll allow...
But it's time limited and we cannot...
That's our problem. If we don't put a vote in tonight or some kind of constituents about how we feel about this, they get their license anyway. Then they're going to get it because of the difference in the address. And they have a lot of political back. And I told the politicians, you do not know who you're representing. It's a very serious location. We have a history of 14 years, and I had a list this big to show you. So I brought it tonight to show you it's that bad. So we voted no, and with your support, I'd like to have your no this evening. So,
it won't be an official motion on the floor, but how many support votes do you have? Show hands.
Yeah, for the
mail,
that's good.
For the mail?
No.
Anything against that?
Abstentions? Okay, so now.
All right, thank you so much, thank you.
Seth Taylor, please step forward. He's from the 80 Second Street Partnership.
Good evening, everybody. So we have some printouts that we can distribute. We also have some brochures that can supplement those.
The time has really come to organize.
So now, if we go to the second page, I'll just take you through what a business improvement district is. So it's a publicly authorized and privately administered nonprofit group, again, made up of property owners and commercial tenants. Bids are also governed by, on their board of directors, elected officials, they have a seat, as do representatives from the city government, from the Department of Small Business Services, from the comptroller's office, and then in addition, there's another class of directors and membership, which are the community members. They're a non-voting class, but they're very integral to the management and decision making. So the primary services that a bid provides to a neighborhood or a system are advocacy. So again, being that liaison between the business community and the property owners and city government. Maintenance and sanitation, so graffiti removal, sidewalk sweeping, pressure washing. Business development, so working with the business community to protect their interests, organize patient seminars, to work with them, to spruce up their storefronts, to draw more customers through their doors. Marketing is another big service that bids provide to their neighborhoods. So, for example, on 82nd Street, we have a website, we do events, we did our Viva La Community event, we have shopping guides, everything to really promote the district and as a great shopping area. Also, we do capital improvements. So, you know, on 82nd Street today, we are working with a lighting consultant to come up with a master plan for the lighting. We've installed custom litter receptacles with the bid logo. We've also worked closely with the Parks Department to renovate a public plaza there. So these are the types of capital improvements that you could expect in this expanded area. And then finally, landscaping and beautification. So things like you know, putting out plants and flowers and you know, focusing on the horticulture. So in my introduction, I mentioned what the proposed boundaries would be. Again, you can see the map here on this next page. All the way on the left side is the current boundaries of the 82nd Street Partnership. And you can see that the expanded bid, the Jackson Heights Corona bid, would extend down the Roosevelt Avenue corridor to 114th Street, and then into the Junction corridor. And it would pass through Corona Plaza, which is in many ways the heart of the district. And so the mission of this new bid, right, very clearly is to improve the district's quality of life and to promote economic activity by creating a cleaner, a safer, and more enjoyable place for everyone. And so all the work that the bid would do would be towards achieving this mission and making it a success. We also mentioned the steering committee and who those members are. We have representatives from Corona Can. We have small business owners along the corridor, restaurant owners, professional services. We have support from the Queens Chamber of Commerce, and of course, Councilwoman Melissa Ferreras' office. We have members from the 82nd Street Partnership who are very supportive of this expansion. So it's really a broad-based and diverse group of steering committee members. We're still looking for more members, so if there's anybody in this room tonight who would be interested in attending our regular meetings, which happen about every 3 weeks or so, and if you want to get involved in more of the planning, we'd be happy to talk with you. Let's see. And now I'm gonna turn it over to Cheryl to talk a little bit about our outreach thus far and how we're building support for this initiative.
My name is Cheryl. Again, I'm the project consultant on this project. And right now, we started this process in January, and we've done our first round of outreach, which has been this public seminar series, mainly as a general introduction to what a bid is and how it functions, management structure, and so on. In our second level of outreach, we plan on targeting specific sub-areas, and so the next page on this handout. We'll show another map with sub-areas from A to K. And these are areas we've broken up into kind of our identifying key community leaders, you know, business, very strong businesses that can help us, you know, continue to build support. And so in our to implement our first phase of the outreach, we had to build a database, so getting the contact information, both business owners' names, you know, addresses, and direct mailing, which included the fact sheet that you have seen called for together, as well as a survey, which is to assess all the needs that they feel are, you know, part of our sustaining community. We also included the flyer for the public seminar series, which has completed, but we will be planning another round of meetings with business owners by type of establishment. So if you're a restaurant or professional service and so on, we'll be kind of catering those meetings to those different types of stakeholders. And in addition to that, we're also continuing on with our door-to-door flyer, and we work with the Queens Chamber of Commerce. We're working with also District Councilor Joseph Ferris's office. Doing our outreach, we also have a website which has plenty of really helpful information, especially if you haven't heard what it is or have heard of the intersectionality partnership or what is being proposed. A lot of the history and information is on that website for you to access. We also have jcoronabid.org, which is also on the website. We are also collaborating with a lot of community-based organizations like Make the Road to New York, Immigrant Movement, really trying to pull together all our resources and build some support in all these different ways. So the next page will show a project timeline, and right now we are in May already, and we have about 3 or 4 months of really heavy outreach to do to build really good demonstrate the broad support for the PID. And the goal is to eventually reach a point where we can start collecting ballots. And so if you are a property owner that falls within our boundaries or a business owner, they will be asked, you will be asked to, you know, sign whether you support or oppose the bid, and then we'll collect those, and depending on the level of support, SBS will decide whether to pass, the Department of Small Business Services will determine whether to pass along to City Council, during which it'll end its legislative phase and then be eventually voted on to pass. So that's kind of the last page on this handout, actually, which I just mentioned. The legislative process can take about 9 to 12 months. It's our goal to really submit all of our materials to them by August. And so I'll give you a minute. That's the timeline that they need. The goal is to have, yes, so the goal is to have it done by December. So we'll have our materials submitted by August.
No. The goal is for the district plan to be submitted to SBS. SBS, that will happen in September. SBS will review it and then turn it over to the City Council, who will vote on it before the submission.
In that area,
Small Business Services.
I have a question.
All right, a question.
What? I'm going to be here and I purchased one of the kids. I'm also worried about the residential people. You know, we're on a very tight budget now. So you may have an old lady on Junction Boulevard being charged an extra, to them they're pulling in an extra tax or being forced to pay for this.
Right.
So, I mean, they're gonna vote yes or no to what they want. And they're not against improving their community. But we're in a neighborhood that's very odd. And I'll give you another example. On Junction Boulevard, I've worked with Lafayette, Sabine, and all that, who these are past council people as well as our big one here. We put lights up, we put benches up. As I don't want to hear my proposal, we have a couple of businesses whose patrons destroy this. They wait for the bus, they break the windows and everything. I don't see where you have anything in here to protect us from that, because that should be a police thing as well. So it's cosmetic and it's not. totally against it, but at a time that you're going to ask these people a large amount of money to pay for this.
So let's just clarify what a large amount of money is, because this is something that we are very cognizant of. And so we've been working very closely with our student community member to define, you know, a number that we think our businesses could afford.
Yeah, but there's residential fee too.
Correct, and residents will only pay a symbolic dollar a year contribution, okay? So the number that we've come up with, we're looking at a budget of just over $1 million for this organization. And with over 500 contributing members, that average will come out to about just over $5 a day. So that's $5
a day. That's to the property owner.
Right.
And then that's distributed to his tenants depending on how many businesses are in that.
So,
and our tenants are having to keep up with tenants. I mean, you have to make
And just keep in mind that this is actually, it's not a tax in the sense that you're paying this money and then you don't really know where it's going. This is an investment that businesses and property owners are making, and it's invested directly back into the neighborhood. So that's the great benefit of the business improvement district model, is that, you know, the spending and the investment is controlled locally, and it's controlled by, you know, the board of directors and the membership of the organization. And so, you know, sure, there are businesses out there who you've been speaking to who may...
They called me. I didn't speak, they called me.
So they've expressed concern, and, right. And we hear that.
Yeah. Ruben Pena is one of them that you have down at the student.
Right, and we've been working very closely with Ruben Pena because, you know, he brings us information based on the outreach that he's done. And he says, you know, look, these businesses, they don't know how much it's going to cost. But the fact is, let's be very clear about the facts. We only decided the budget just today, as a matter of fact, with our steering committee. And so it's only today when we can start talking about what the cost is going to be. Because frankly, there's been, and it's understandable, there's been some misinformation out there about what this is going to cost. So, you know, we are happy to say that we do finally have this number that we can present. And I also want to highlight that, you know, there are businesses who are skeptical. There is a large amount of support that's coming from the small business community. Now, as far as the issue that you addressed about, you know, you mentioned the cosmetics, right? It's more than just the cosmetics. We're doing more than just scratching the surface here. You know, for once, this is an opportunity for this community, for this business community, and the property owners, and the residents, to organize as a group, to form a strong voice that can advocate for improvements to the neighborhood. Okay, I think this is a tremendous opportunity, and so do our steering committee members, so do our elected officials. You know, there's a tremendous amount of momentum behind this plan right now. And
he said,
yes.
So after the vote, let's say for instance the majority say yes, everybody's going to be required to shell out the cash.
That's correct. That's how big. There are 67 business improvement districts across the city of New York, and that's how they are formed.
And this is like in perpetuity. They can never get out of it?
The way it works is when a bid is formed, you enter into a contract with the city of New York. And those contracts typically are for 5 years. And so after 5 years, the city of New York will do a performance evaluation. And from there, you can decide whether or not that contract
should be. And then it's the city that collects it, right?
The assessments show up on the property tax bill, and it's collected by the Department of Finance. So there's a steady revenue stream coming into the bid.
And is that going to be about $300 a year per person?
The average that we've calculated is, what is it? No, let's be quick. It's not $1,800 per business. It's $1,800 per property. And as Cheryl mentioned, properties have multiple commercial tenants. So that money is split between the tenants.
Why was there, what's the advantage of expanding an existing one versus forming several?
Well, the advantage is one, you know, the structure is already in place. Okay. So So the administration is there, the offices are set up, it's up and running. But more importantly than that, you can achieve a greater economy of scale when you form one entity. The biggest expense for this bid would be on sanitation, okay? I mentioned that our budget is just over $1 million. About $600,000 of that would go toward the sanitation contract. If you were to split it up into multiple BIDs, business improvement districts, your sanitation expenses would be much higher. So that's another way to bring the cost down. And then finally, it's the idea that forming one group, again, we're looking to create a strong, unified voice for the district.
How about vandalism?
Well, vandalism, I mean, that's really the goal of every bid, is to create a clean and safe neighborhood. That's really the fundamentals of any commercial district. It has to be graffiti-free, it has to be clean, you want your sidewalks to look good. So, of course, that's going to be one of the primary focuses of the bid, is to mitigate any sort of vandalism.
Okay, Julie, and then that's it.
I know I came in late, and I apologize. My question is in some areas, you do have some very large businesses, for example, McDonald's, the Walgreens, the Rite Aid. Could perhaps those larger businesses pay a higher portion of the fee rather than a smaller property owner?
It would, frankly, it would be too complex to set up that kind of model. But what we have done, and why don't you describe the assessment
form? So, like Seth had mentioned, every property owner pays an annual assessment fee. And so that assessment fee, and we've worked out a formula that we believe is, as equitable as possible. It's based on the assessed value of your property and the length of your front footage of your property. So that could range from 20 feet to 100, And then, so we've taken those two factors and come to an assessment. And that assessment represents your portion, the portion that you're paying to this budget that's going to be reinvested back into that neighborhood, right? So, that rule applies to everyone. There are separate classes, there's separate lot classes for vacant lots for residents, and they pay a different fee.
Okay, and for the Darby, and then, and
you want to answer? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, thank you so much. The thing is, when you start doing these kind of things, what you're doing is getting more tax money in. And people who have businesses there and people who don't have businesses there have to pay more, whatever it is, real estate tax or however you're going to play it around. The thing is, you're making more bureaucracy. More people are going to get jobs. People are going to have high salaries. And in the end, any of the businesses that are going to have to pay into this, leave alone the people who don't have businesses, maybe the elderly will have to be paying more real estate or whatever tax this is going to work out to be. But if there are businesses, the businesses really don't care because they're going to take it out on the consumer. And the consumer is going to pay this. So in the end, all this is doing, bottom line, is people are going to get nice jobs up on the top. The city is going to get more money. And it's just tax, and bureaucracy. And I'm against it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question. This, you're telling me some owners, business owners, is people are getting a tax abatement from the government. I mean, if they're not getting any benefit, the tax, the business people are asking for, why they should pay extra money and why they have a burden on it?
Well, when you say they're not getting any benefit, I'm not sure I follow.
Mean the tax abatement. Just like they do, just after they give the tax abatement, mean you spend $500 a month a year?
No, it's not an abatement. It's an assessment.
No, I know that. People, and then end up releasing tax.
Right.
So it should be getting tax abatement from them that they should be reduced from the tax, because why they're paying extra money?
again, this is, a bid is something that's born out of the community. It's something that, you know, the property owners and businesses are asking for. Yeah. It'll happen.
But the
big difference, though, is that they are getting benefit out of this. And again, what is the benefit? I mean, I could, do you want to go back? I could take you back to the list of services.
And another question. Is the people you're giving a job or contract to the people, are you giving a job to the neighborhood people, or are you giving a job to the outside people?
So, let me answer your questions.
Yes.
One, about the benefits.
Yes.
By investing these funds directly back into the neighborhood, we are creating a cleaner, safer, more enjoyable district. And then, as far as hiring locally, yes, that would be a priority. We would actually stipulate that in any contract that we do with our vendors, that they make every effort to hire locally. But I just want to make sure you're clear about what the benefits are. You understand that this bid money is invested directly back into the neighborhood, every dollar, right? Through neighborhood improvements, through advocacy. You understand that?
Right?
Okay, good.
Okay, Elirio.
Okay, how the money is invested back in the community, sir?
I'm sorry?
How the money is invested back in the community?
So,
let's say you're spending $600,000, you know, in sanitation.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about, you know, I don't know how much money is going to be left in there. How that money is going to be invested back into the community?
Right.
So,
Are they going to have a
group coming from the outside and playing there? How's, you know, how it's going to be invested back in there?
Right.
Everybody's going to get a percentage, whatever?
Don't ever do that.
Okay, so let me just clarify. The budget, okay. The lion's share, the majority of the budget, will be allocated towards supplemental sanitation services.
We already have sanitation.
No, let me explain.
Supplementary.
When you're out on 82nd Street, okay, and even now on Roosevelt with the taste of the bid, okay, you're going to see sweepers out there in yellow shirts with a teal logo and gray pants.
Wall Street type. Okay.
Wall Street type?
Wall Street, yeah, you got a guy right. Wall Street in there. In
like 34th Street. 34th Street. Yeah. 34th Street, right. Right. There are 67 of them across the city. And these guys and girls, ladies, are out there every day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they are walking the sidewalks with a bucket and a broom. They are removing graffiti. They're power washing sidewalks. They're giving directions to people. They are the eyes and ears of the district. They're creating a cleaner and safer neighborhood. Okay. That's where the majority of the money is going to go, into this sanitation program. The other bit of the budget will go towards advocacy work, okay? Working closely with city government, Department of Transportation, to enhance parking regulations, to improve the street lighting. It'll go towards installing more bicycle racks, making safer streets. We will work with the Parks Department to plant more trees, to beautify the public spaces. We'll work with the Department of Buildings to mitigate unnecessary fines for property owners. We'll work with the Department of Consumer Affairs. And importantly, we're going to work with the Police Department and the Sanitation Department, okay, to ensure better services to the neighborhood. That's the role of a bid.
Okay.
Going to
be here with the
question.
Ask the question, he answered it. Whether you like the way he answered it.
Hello.
You're going to move on.
Hello?
All right.
That's because for some people, they are not familiar with Flushing. They know their restaurants, but they don't know.
Yes, sure.
They have a
Was there many bus stops in Flushing? Solely for the Flushing, solely for the
That's a good one.
All right, let's move on. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, the next item. Cast attention, let's move on, please.
Speed bumps,
and
maybe
speed bumps.
It's a two-way street, it's too narrow.
Yeah.
I got my car, the car was crashed.
we'll look into it. I have a meeting with the office, so we'll look into it.
And also, zones mean less parking spaces.
Yeah, because the gates actually go on, like, the gates take up a lot of parking space. You move on the street side, so. And so, the only item really to be voted on, which, even though we don't have a form, it would have been the car service. We can.
Since it's time sensitive, it will be approved based on the county's report. Moving on. Consumer affairs.
Very brief. On Wednesday, 17th of April, we had a town hall for Queenstown Tamua. And we were joined by four elected officials. We have Council Member Daniel Brown, we have Assembly Member Francisco Meyer, we had Council Member Jolisa Ferreras, we have Karen Castro as well, including the Deputy Inspector Lacey. So the Consumer Forum went very well. We had a modest attendance. And at the forum, we discussed a lot of issues that affected our area, community board for. And we hope to do this moving forward. Some of the issues and concerns we will continue to address in the committee as well as bringing it to the board. So, and also, a report was in the Chronicle, which you may have seen. You know, so that's my report.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Health? You.
Oh, hi, good evening. Rachel Levitt, Newtown High School, in partnership with the Elmhurst Hospital Center on the PowerPoint presentation about AIDS prevention. Over 500 students, school personnel, and parents attended. It was a success. And then, April 27, I attended the UFT, the annual Free Queens Parent and Teachers Conference, the one that was supposed to happen last year, but it didn't happen, so to give in Sandy. At the Sheraton LaGuardia East Hotel in Florida. This conference is sponsored by the UFT and by the Chinese Parent Association. That means that the Chinese Parent Association is the one that puts all the money for the banquet, the food, and that to pay for all expenses at the at this annual conference. That means that this took many of the workshops are in Mandarin. Because some of the Spanish-speaking parents were really sorry. Complaining, how come we don't have this workshop in Spanish? So what, because the Chinese Parent Association is paying for this workshop, and they think that way out of the 2,500 people that attended, many of them, I would say half of people are from the Chinese Asian structure. So that is the reason. While many of the workshops are in Mandarin, they're in English and Mandarin. And then, this workshop, one of the main workshops that I attended was about the Common Core Standards in English as a second language of mathematics that are volume 1 are being introduced in 46 states and are introduced in the United States, gradually to improve the learning of English and mathematics of the students so the students can succeed and join in professions such as engineering and other professions that we are lacking in graduates in this country. That is the reason we have to import engineers from India, China, North, South Korea, because they graduate from them, and we don't graduate them there. So, prepare this new Common Core standards. Also, we prepare the students to pass the tests that are given in elementary and junior school. The next Free Parents and Teachers Conference will be held Saturday, last minute, if you have another year again, November 23rd, 2013, at the same location, and I will have more information with the family. Let you know how to register or not. Wednesday, May 15th, tomorrow, at Thomas Hospital Center, the Women's Annual Health Leading Affair will take place. The number of interested starts at 10 a.m. and ends at 1 p.m. succession, health insurance, sharing inheritance, quick pediatric care, treatment, since asthma, diabetes, bone marrow, and organ donation, depression, stress management, HHC options, disaster preparedness, and hygiene. And Houston May 28th, Community Education Council 24 will hold a town hall meeting with Chancellor Dennis Walker, Professor PSIS 130, the Anthony J. Tanzano School in Glendale. All are invited. If you need more information, please call the committee board and give you the phone number of the Community Education Council. And fifth, but not least, the last, is the Summer Youth Employment Program 2013, sponsored by the UNICEF with a flyer. We tell you how you can apply for this program for summer employment, how much it pays, and you need help for this program. For further information, the phone number is here. You can call BYCB Youth Connect at 1-800-246-4646. Thank you.
Okay, Parks, Environmental, Postal, and UF are not here tonight, so there are no reports. And over the summer, all the committees are going to be revamped. People are going to get moved around who have not been moved around, whether they like it or not. And the public forum is now open. Would anybody in the public like to say anything?
I'm sorry, this hasn't been handed out.
Okay.
I'm the education committee as well, sure. But yeah, Anthony, I just found this information. My school is IS61, and we've been working with the parents. We're the only District 24 who does not have middle school choice, and I work at a middle school. So we've been working with the parents to empower them, and you know, they really want to get out there to do that. They've gone to several CEC meetings to no avail. Unfortunately, they've been disrespected at the CEC meeting. But the last thing that just happened was a rally in Massachusetts. Because they don't want rezoning to happen. I understand that as well. I don't think the Corona parents want rezoning to either. But sadly, there's a comment, if you want to pass it out, at the very bottom, made by someone, which unfortunately seems to be the feeling of the other side of the people of our college students here in Corona.
What was that comment?
A cop runner, you know.
Yes.
Okay. IS-73 is nothing but a holding pen for animals from Corona and other hellholes.
Nice.
Way to ruin that. So, I think we really need to go to either a group, or I don't know what to do, I don't know how this happens. But, like I said, the district is unfortunately separated. We have the district on the side of Queen Boulevard, and then we have the district on the other side of Queen Boulevard, which has been given a lot of different things. Whereas in Corona, we haven't built in the middle school, we haven't built the high school, like in Master High School. So, unfortunately, their commentary is that they actually haven't gotten anything. And Corona has gotten quite a bit of things. So we still have overcrowding. We are taking it further. We're going to the council, and we're going hopefully to the Senate, because they, are, I believe, are in charge of districting or anything else. Just wanted to give that information.
May I say something? I believe you, because in the Community Education Council,
yes, I'm sure you have
been. There is not a member that is a Latino or African American. There was once. So 3 years ago, one African American, there was a Latino and they were, but nobody is Latino nor African American. And actually, they didn't want me there because I have no children. Yes. You have no children, why are you here? That's why he told me, he said, well, look, that's your opinion, but I'm interested in the welfare of the children, the future. The children deserve a better future. And I'm here to fight for that. So, anyway, they are. The way they are, you have seen it in writing, and it's true. So you know what we have to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone in the public want to say anything before the public?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I'm Carmen. I'm one of the organizers for a vacant lot on 111th Street and 44th Avenue. I'm passing flyers around on your tables so you can take a look at that. We're trying to start a community garden there for four different purposes. One, to create a safe, pretty place for the community members to spend time there with each other. Number two, to provide good education for the youth that live around there. imagery to set up a food waste thing system there, and four, to have a place where the community can express themselves culturally through the food that they plant there. So right now we're keeping in touch with Green Thumb on trying to get access to the lot, and we're working with folks from Immigrant Movement. They're doing planting workshops, and we're starting to do a little bit of design for how they want the community garden to be. So I would just like your support.
What's
111 Street and 44th Avenue.
Talk to Jennifer over there.
Can I just, I'm very sorry, Carmen. I meant to mention earlier, from my report, Carmen has been contacting me for the last couple of months to, you know, just come forward to us. The lot is a vacant lot right at the corner of 111 and 44th Avenue, just before, right next to the river, adjacent to the river. Okay. It's a Green Thumb garden now, it's just a vacant lot. It's a little odd shaped, and I mentioned to Carmen, she's.
Isn't that sort of like something to do with either the MTA or Con Edison?
No, Green Thumb's now owned by Con Edison. And so earlier when Senator Moya mentioned that we need more people like Jennifer to do like this, we have Carmen, and Carmen is trying to bring it. So, I'll be working with you.
Thanks, everyone. If you have any questions, just feel free to email us. There's an email on the flyer.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Howard. I manage the library. I've been over here a few times before. Tonight I have some good news, but also some bad news. So I'll start with the bad news. You're all aware of the budget cycle, which is coming down the pike. We are facing an enormous proposed cut to the libraries. We've experienced this now more than 5 years in a row. The budget proposal is to cut 35% from our budget. Imagine with your home budget what that would mean if you had to cut 35% and you had to do that on top of 5 years of steady cuts. I've lost a librarian, I've lost a clerk. What this means is if it goes through, currently we would have to close more than half the libraries in Queens. It's just an enormous blow. Just if you think about it, if I can't even take a 1% cut and stay open anymore, because we are at the bone, we're past the bone of cuts here. I'm also speaking tonight for the two other libraries inside Community Board for Elmhurst and Langston Hughes. Together, the three of our libraries serve over half a million visits in the last year. We've circulated over 600,000 items. But on top of that, together, the three libraries in Community Board 4 have provided over 1,500 programs. So to me, what the library means is it's a place that we foster community. It's a place where we foster understanding of one another. And to your point about the bigotry and the racism that we see, one of the key tools that we have in our community to fight that is the fact that libraries bring everybody in. When we do these programs, if you come to my library tomorrow morning, you'll see toddler time. Later in the afternoon, we'll have computer classes. We provide programming on how you can take advantage of the health services in the city, how you can deal with the housing situation, and much, much more. Just this, you know, we had the hurricane with the Rockaways. We've lost libraries over the past year. During that time, we lost libraries, but right now we still have mobile units, and we threw mobile units in right away. We told people how they vote, where they vote when they were hit with this catastrophe, how they get funding, how they get shelter, where to send their kids to school. So we do a lot of information services that are absolutely critical on top of what I feel is also probably the most important thing, which is building social capital. If you don't know who your neighbors are, you're not going to trust them, and you're going to have this kind of bigotry that we really have to end. And cutting libraries is not a way to do that. What we're asking that you do to help us is I left a petition here. You can also go online to our website, queenslibrary.org. I'm also asking if in the past few years, I think more than the past few years, the Community Board has been wonderful in doing resolutions. If we can get you to do a resolution too in support of restoration of the cut, restoration of the budget.
That would be fantastic. And then also, our council members have been fantastic on this. And I have to say, too, the state has been very generous. The problem is we get the lion's share of our money from the city. So the state has been fantastic. We've been able to do some programming and stay alive because of them. But we're really coming now to the final crisis period. So the good news that I wanted to just touch on is we do a program every month at the library, which you are all familiar with, called the Open Forum. It's an opportunity to do exactly what we were talking about building the social capital, learning what's going on in their communities and trying to make improvements. And we bring in elected officials almost every month so they can hear what's going on as well. We've had the community board come to these programs as well. This month, because we've been doing this now for over 2 years, where it's open, where anybody can bring in the issues that they want, what we've decided to do is, since there are certain issues that keep coming up, we decided to focus in on one of those issues that has come up over the past 2 years in almost every single forum, which is education. So I invite you all, it's the same day, I realize that the chancellor is having his program, but it's later in the afternoon, and I'm keeping the library open late. I've asked a lot of favors from my staff to do that so that we can reach out to working parents so they can come in. And the idea is that the summer's coming up. How do you keep kids from not slipping over the summer? And the library has a lot of ideas for that. We do programming for children at Left Rack City every single day so that the kids don't slip. So we're going to be giving some tips. We're providing three very critical tips for parents. That's the first half of the program. The second half of the program is to talk about what we as a community can do to try to improve outcomes for all of our children. So that is the 28th. I really encourage you to make it. If you're going to the Chancellor's program, there's still time for you to shoot across town and make it and give us a report about what was said at that program earlier that evening. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public like to speak? Okay, I need a motion for adjournment. Did everyone fill out those forms?
Yeah.
Please bring those forms forward to the meeting. Okay, the meeting's not over yet, please. Hold on. One more comment. Not adjourned yet. Hold it, please.
And I want to thank the board for making Vermont Avenue today. I drive past there 100 times a day, and it's so much better. I foresee less accidents, and it's better for the entire community. So thank you very much.
Okay, I need a motion. All in favor?